It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
You know somebody, if they want to show they are good people and going for the job interview, they never wear the suit in their life. And so they go to the interview with a nice suit and three-piece suit and looks like a dignifying and something like that. And they never pass even, you know, their test, and they have very low score and things like that. No vocabulary. They want to take a job like a master degree job. And they sat an interview. And if somebody smart person sitting to taking their interview, looking at them, their dress, their behavior. Do you know when you wear the suit and you never wear this, you feel so uncomfortable. You would not know how to handle it. And so the person will find out this person is not right for the business. Even though he did not ask a simple question, he would know this man is a faking. He's not qualified for this job. You cannot go for outward appearance. Go to the 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, God looks inside, not outside. Go ahead.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the hearts.
See, the God says, I know your heart. You can try to impress other people, but I have seen your heart. I know what's cooking inside your heart. He knows everything about you. He says you cannot hide anything from me. Let's read another verse. First John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
God knows your heart, and if your heart condemning, you don't have to say anything to God. God knows. God knows your heart. Read the verse 21.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
So what he's trying to say, first of all, your heart should not condemn you. If your heart is condemning you, then God knows before you telling God. So what do you do? You just say, Lord, please forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, make me right. Outside appearance will not impress God. It might impress people, but it will not impress God. In the sight of God, we are just the naked. You can wear anything you want, but God sees everything inside. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, in the eyes of God, everything what? Open and naked to him. He doesn't need x-ray machine. He doesn't need anything. He knows everything inside out about you. But he said, you people are looking for praising from the people. People should say good to me. And so you are pleasing people. That's what he's saying. If you try to please people and don't please God, he says, abomination in the sight of God. That's what he was trying to say to these Pharisees. So the St. Paul says, Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, he says, if I try to please men, I cannot be a servant of God. So what the Word of God is saying, don't please people, please God.
For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
This should be key in every Christian's life. We are not here to impress people. We are not here to please people. I'm not going according to what is good and smart. I'm going to go according to his behavior, according to his life, what he does for Christ. Is he cheating on somebody? Is he lying? Is he an honest person? Does he keep his word? Does he do the right thing in the sight of God? Can you depend on that person? Can you trust in this person? That's the way you evaluate person. If the person doesn't keep the time, the person doesn't keep appointment, the person cheats all the time, and he lies all the time, do you appoint that person in a God's business? No way. That's what the Word of God is saying. Don't try to please people. Please God. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 16.
The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it.
Now, since the law and prophet came up to the John. Now, when the John started preaching, he just changed the thing. Up to now, they were doing all the rituals and sacrifice and everything. John the Baptist changed this. He went and said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Nobody told them to repent. They said, bring the sacrifice. And then John sees the Jesus Christ and says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He said, you need the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and you don't need sacrifice anymore. And that's the way that John was preaching. Jesus Christ said to his disciple, go to the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. He came after the grave. He was trying to say what the prophets and what the law was talking about. Go ahead.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Now what he's trying to say when he's saying, started from the Moses, all the prophets, and all the scripture concerning himself. So what he's trying to say? All the law was pointing out towards Jesus. All the prophets pointing to Jesus Christ. So if you take the Jesus out of the Old Testament or out of the Bible, the book is useless. From Genesis to Revelation, everywhere is Jesus. And so he's saying, from the law and the prophets were until the John. And then we read in St. John chapter 1, verse 17. It says, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So it's completely changed. But Jesus Christ is saying, all the law, all the prophets, everyone is pointing towards Jesus Christ and his ministry. So it's not going to change. Everything up to now about Jesus Christ is fulfilled. His birth, crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his sending Holy Spirit, everything is fulfilled. So Jesus Christ is saying everything is fulfilled. And so the law will not change. Verse 17, Luke 16, 17.
And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Did you see what he's saying? He said it is easier for the heaven and earth to pass. It's easy. Now some preacher will tell you heaven and earth will not pass away. Jesus says it's easy, it's going to pass. But the law will not pass away until it's fulfilled. And in Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, what did he say? It is finished. So all the prophets and all the law was concerning about Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation is finished. And remaining things about Jesus Christ, his second coming, his coming and taking his bride, his coming and establishing the kingdom of 1,000 years of reign and the judgment time and eternal kingdom. It will not miss anything because he says not a little tittle or little comma will be passed until it's fulfilled. Heaven and earth is easy to pass away. But what is written about Jesus Christ and fulfillment about Jesus Christ's teaching and his prophecy will not change. Verse 18, Luke 16, 18.
Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery.
Now somebody will say, in this chapter, We were not talking about the marriage and divorce. Why this scripture came in the middle? The reason why he wanted to tell the Pharisees, you know what you're doing? You changing the law. You changing the written words of God. You are changing it. Somebody said, how are you changing? Now, some denominations, some churches, if you are married and you divorce, and now you want to remarry with somebody else, what that church says, okay, God hates divorce, we hate divorce, so what are we going to do? We are going to make your marriage, first marriage, null or never happened. You never married before. So let's make paper clear. And if your marriage is in my book, we're going to take it out, wipe it out, that you never married before. So now you are fresh. You get married to anybody you want. That's the law, they change it. Today, people are doing it. And the Old Testament, they did differently. If you don't like your wife, we can give you the certificate of divorcement. And the people were divorcing left and right without any reason. And so Jesus Christ is saying, this is what you people are doing it. But this is not from the beginning. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 to 9.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
Now see what his question is asking. He's coming and asking Jesus Christ. Matthew didn't say he asked the question, but he asked the question to Jesus Christ. Is it lawful to man to divorce his wife for any cause? Means any mistake she does? She didn't cook properly? Give her a divorce. She was not wearing good clothes today? Give her a divorce. And when I came from the work and she didn't say hello, darling? Give her a divorce. So any cause, any problem I find, can I divorce her? That's what they're asking him a question.
And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
Now what he's trying to say, don't you know what the Bible teaches? When God made male and female, and when they joined together in a marriage, they became one flesh. So what he's trying to say, now they should cling to husband and wife and leave the mother and father's home. But what's happening today? People get married and want to stay with a mother or stay with a father or stay with a family. And that's where the more problem comes. So he said, you should get out of the mother and father's house, take your wife, cling to her, and live like a one flesh. Then the marriages will not be separated. When they're married, leave them alone and let them live their life. If you try to tell them, you should be living this way and you should be living that way, you know, in India, the mother-in-law gives you a hard time to the daughter-in-law. Like a hell on earth. They might be thinking, when I will be mother-in-law, I will be good mother-in-law. But when she becomes mother-in-law, she becomes the same hell. Nothing changes. What happened? She thinks, when my mother-in-law was giving me a hard time, I will give the same thing to her. And she forgets that she should not be doing it. And this keep on going one after another. That's what the word of God is saying. What was the law? What God said? Let's read a little bit further.
Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
God joined them together, let not another man. Means another boyfriend, another mother-in-law, or daughter-in-law, or sister-in-law. Nobody should interfere with their marriage. That's joined together for life. Okay.
They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
Now he said, why Moses told us to divorce? Because they start going and complaining Moses.
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery.
So he's saying, if that person did adultery, that's the only reason you can put her away. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 19. So here, the marriage stuff in between came. So Jesus Christ was accusing those Pharisees, you people are changing the law and not doing according to the word of God. Okay, verse 19.
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried.
Now see, this is an example. This rich man was very rich, having beautiful clothes, expensive clothes. And so he was very rich, having party after party and living a luxurious life and didn't care about anybody. And they said, somebody dump this Lazarus in front of his gate because they have feast every day. So at least something he will get. And so Lazarus was craving to eat something from under his table. Some crumbs will fall. And he was satisfied. And then the word of God says, the dog came to lick him. And I was thinking, there was a lot of food. Why dog is coming and licking him instead of going and eating the delicious food of the king's palace or this rich man's palace? Why are they licking him? But I think these dogs were his friend. He said, dog came. So dog came from somewhere where this man used to live, and they're searching, keep searching my master. And they came and start licking him. And so licking his wound, and he would feel comfort. And then said he died. He says, when he died, the angels came and took him up to heaven. That means he didn't have any burial. His body was still decaying on the dumpster somewhere. And the same day, maybe, or I don't know, same day or next day, the rich man dies. And they gave him a beautiful burial. But when he opens his eyes, he's in hell. And he sees the Lazarus sitting in the lap or bosom of Abraham. Okay, let's read further. Verse 23.
And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
See, he recognized Lazarus, and he says, send that Lazarus. He can put his pinky in the water and just put one drop on my tongue because I am tormenting in this hell and flame all around me. What Abraham says, verse 25.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.
This man is tormented. He is telling Abraham to send Lazarus. And so Abraham said, no, sir. We cannot come from there to here, and you cannot come from there to here. There's a gulf between, and it's fixed. And now many people, the people who believe in eternal security, once you saved, saved forever. They say relationship doesn't change because you are a son, you're always son. See what happens. He's in hell calling Abraham father and Abraham calling him son. The relationship son and father is still there, but he's still in hell. Doesn't make any sense. Means if you commit sin, you will go to hell. Not because you were a son one time, so you'll go to heaven. You will be like a disobedient son who is going to be punished in hell. So that's what it is. And now he is saying, I have five brothers. Send Lazarus. At least he will go from here and testify to them, those people, I was suffering here. I went to heaven. I saw one of your brother is in hell. So please don't commit sin so you can go to heaven. What Abraham says, it's not going to work that way. They have Moses and they have prophets. They should listen. So somebody say, is this time of Moses? No. This can be after Moses or maybe after a long time. Read the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. It says, when you read, means Moses a book or his law, and you observe the law of Moses, that means you are still in Old Testament.
But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
So here is saying, you have Moses and prophet, that means the Moses law, the Moses books are there, he should read it, and he should change his life. And if he doesn't want to change, then nobody can change, even the somebody raised from the dead. Let's go back to Luke chapter 16, verse 30 and 31.
And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead.
I heard one person saying he was dead and he came to life. And he says, I think that rich man's prayer is answered and God sent me back. Nobody's prayer in the hell God is going to answer. And so Abraham said, even the somebody comes out of the grave, people will not listen. Jesus Christ was crucified. He was buried. He came out of the grave. Did they believe? No. Let's read the Acts chapter 3, starting from verse 22.
For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Now see, he started from Moses. Moses said, God is going to send a prophet like me. And you don't listen to Moses. You did not listen to that prophet when he was preaching. And even though he died and he rose again, you did not listen to him. Let's keep on reading chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Acts 4, 1 to 3.
And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide.
See what he's trying to say? He says, they testified about Jesus. He's alive, and in his name the miracles are happening. Those people's heart was not changed, but they came upon these disciples and put them in a jail. So what Abraham was saying is true. Abraham said, even though I send this Lazarus, they're not going to believe. And Jesus raised from dead, they did not believe. What the word of God is saying, when their heart is hardened, nobody can change it. Only they have to repent and listen to the word of God, and then their life will be changed. Book of Luke, chapter 17, starting from verse 1.
Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come.
Now here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, It is impossible that obstacle or the trouble or the people who will not bother you. It is impossible because there are people always there to harass you or give you a hard time. And who is behind it? The devil. Devil can use your own household. He can use your boss. He can use your friend. He can use anybody. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 16 verse 33, He says, The trouble will be there, but I have overcome the world. So Jesus Christ is the overcomer. So what you do when you have a problem, looking unto Jesus. Go ahead.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
In this world, we will have tribulation. When he was praying to his father, he said, Father, I don't pray that you take these people, my disciples, out of this world. Keep them here. So we are going to stay here until Christ comes. We will have problems. We are not going to run from the problems. We are going to face them. We are going to rebuke the demonic forces. The word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have the power. We have the strength from God. So the word of God is saying, it is impossible that we can say the trouble should not come. Trouble will be coming. But then he says, But woe unto him through whom they come. That means he says, woe unto that person who brings the trouble into this world. And then he says, not one trouble, whom they come, means one person, one enemy, does not give up. Keep on coming back, coming back, coming back. So he says, woe unto those people. And if you read the verse 2, Luke chapter 17, verse 2.
It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Can you imagine what Jesus Christ is saying? Many people think Jesus Christ is a loving, kind, gracious, forgives. But what he's saying here, if the person coming over and over and over again to bother, to whom? Little ones. The people cannot defend themselves. The abortion clinic. Or the children are suffering. You know how many little children are kidnapped every day. You know how many little children are killed every day. And the children are killed in the abortion clinic. So the word of God says, oh, unto those people. Not only oh, but he said it will be better to hang the millstone in their neck. Jesus Christ is saying about Judah, it was better for this man not to be even born. Do you know Judah lived with Jesus Christ 3.5 years? Jesus Christ had mercy on him. He gave even treasury to him, he can keep the money, and he was having good position in the ministry, but he did not understand his calling. There were so many disciples, Matthew chapter 10, and so they were called a special people, but he did not understand his calling. So the Jesus Christ says, oh, unto that man, it was better for him not to be even born. And so, Jesus Christ is telling us, we have to forgive people, but the people when they ask forgiveness. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 3. Now, when we read first two verses, somebody will think, Jesus Christ is saying, if somebody gives you trouble, put a big the millstone and dump it in the sea. So anybody comes to me, I will not forgive him. That's not Jesus Christ is saying. The person who made up his mind doesn't want to repent. Do you know the devil? Why God doesn't forgive devil? Because devil doesn't repent.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.